John Stadmiller's National Intel Report, Chris, listeners. I'm not sure whether we have. I guess we do have John with us. Okay, let's continue. We have Sam on board still. Let's take Phyllis in Ohio. Let's go with Phyllis and Anna and Melissa, and we'll bring up John Ainsworth and keep our direction in place. Welcome to the broadcast, Phyllis.
Thank you. I just found out about you about a month ago, and I talked to you, and I also talked to Robbie Noel. And you and Robbie and Jack McLam have all interviewed me. It's been a long time ago.
Yes.
I used to cross paths with John at the expos, Survival Expos.
Right.
And I sent, Robbie Noel gave me an address, and I sent a box of my son's journal. It's the only contribution I have to help you out because I don't have money, and I'm hoping, I know maybe you won't get a lot out of it, but I hope you will accept the widow's mite. That's my position right now. Recently lost my husband. I've been in this fight for 50 years, and I'm not saying these things for any personal glory. It is 30 years ago last week that my son gave his life, and I would hope that perhaps, as I said, the journal might help the station out in some way. You can ask what you want for it. The story is as relevant today, and I hope we reach some of these people to quit sending their kids off for this, into these genocidal wars.
Yeah, and certainly you know the reasoning behind all this, don't you, Phyllis?
I certainly do. My family and I, as I've said, as a family, my two sons, my husband and I, and not to be bragging, but 50 years is quite a while to try to get through to folks.
Yeah, it's very tiring and frustrating, I'm certain, in your regards.
We don't intend. There's only two of us left now, just my son and I, and I want to leave a future for my grandchildren.
Yes, yes. And certainly I appreciate that.
But I don't know who or where the books went or if anybody received them. That's what I'm trying to find out.
Oh, you sent that package to Robbie.
Well, he sent me an address in Round Rock, Texas, where I sent them to.
Okay, well, maybe they have them at the studio then.
So the only thing, I just hope you received them okay. And as I said, I wish I had a lot of money to send, but this is what I have to offer.
I'll tell you what, let me investigate into this, and I'll call you right after the show and give you some kind of response to that. And maybe I can bring
it. I know it may seem like a small thing, but it's the only way I have to help.
Phyllis, I appreciate your thoughts, and I'll put this on my number one direction as we go through this broadcast. And after the show, I'll contact you on this. Thank you, Phyllis. We'll continue, listeners. Stay with us.
Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We'll be back on Monday. John Stadtmiller, that is. We need a big pledge from you listeners out there to keep this network on the air. And certainly John just explained that in the last hour. But it's very, very vital that this happens. We'll bring up John Ainsworth momentarily. We still have Sam with us. And we'll take Anna in Texas now, listeners. Anna, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so glad to hear you again. You were one of the people that woke me up. I lived on the East Coast, and it was the wee hours of the morning. And I got your program on, and I was hooked. And I would stay up every night, you know.
Oh, gee.
Listen and learn the things you were saying. And I never had the courage to call in. I'd wake everybody up, and I thought, oh. But I'd listen to you every night. And I called also because of something someone was saying about the water system. I some time ago read a book. It was written in the early 1800s, or the early 1980s, by a woman by the name of Deirdre Manifold. She was an Irish housewife. And she wrote, according to Gibbon, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire was caused by the evils of inflation, a permissive society, and the rush from the land into the cities. She said that in 1900, 11% only of the population lived in cities. And before, in the early 80s, it was already reversed. And today, over 90% of the people live in cities. And
yeah.
If they would want to take our water or our electricity, it would be a very easy thing to do.
Yes. Very, very concerning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the point about Sam and his meeting in Missouri, of getting the people to understand that there is legislation in Missouri right now, I believe, to meter the wells. Is that not true, Sam?
Well, yeah, we actually repealed it is what happened. Now, just to give you an idea, and this should be some encouragement to those out there who feel like they can't get anything done. We had a law actually passed. I mean, it was law, okay? It was mm-hmm. on the books. It was passed, done. Mm-hmm. It had been in effect for quite some time. We created so much pressure through the meeting we had here that the Congress critters, or the representatives here in the state of Missouri, were literally scampering to get out from under this thing and get it repealed. And we successfully turned it around. Now, there's 9 counties in the state of Missouri who are still involved in this scheme, but it's 9 counties right around the Branson area, and they can voluntarily opt out now with the way the law has been changed. But now, I want to also mention that it's not over, because the feds are threatening these states that bow out of this. If you don't implement these programs, we're going to come in and implement it for you. So next April, we may very well have the feds to fight with. But having said that, this is why people have got to rise up in this country. You know, all the stuff you take for granted when you turn on the tap, when you go to the grocery store and all that, if they can, they're going to take this all away from you, because a society that can't get access to its food and its water, you know, where its food and its water is controlled, is a society that's more easily controlled. And that's something that I cannot stress enough.
Amen.
Chris,
yes.
May I make a comment to that? I have friends who live in Mallorca. It's an island off the coast of Spain. And they were told they may not dig any more new wells. So when the old well gives out, they ship in the water, and this is coming out of the EEC. They're the ones mandating this. So the island of Mallorca, with time, will be entirely dependent on water that's brought in by ship.
Is the EEC the European Economic Commission?
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
I think that's right. And she was astounded.
And that's probably an offshoot of the UN system.
Yeah, I would presume.
And see, in Zimbabwe, which used to be Rhodesia, that Phyllis Covey was just talking about, they are keeping their population from planting gardens. They won't let them plant gardens in Zimbabwe. So the genocide is going on in that part of South Africa. The genocide will happen here. Is drought inducement being put on us? Is weather modification a reality? Absolutely, it's a reality. So these directions are very ominous that are being manipulated to us and at us, and that's why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say to people out there listening, there are a lot of little people like me who didn't know anything a long time ago, and I listened to Chris just by a fluke of turning on the radio at night. It's very important. And not only that, but if if you're in a dentist's office or you're in a doctor's office, write the number of the network down for people. Say, you want to hear something interesting, and write the number down.
Mm.
And,
Good point.
You can get little stickers and put them around or something, that helps. Anyway, thank you, Chris, so much.
Thank you, Anna. I appreciate your call, and thank you for being there.
Thank you for being there for me. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Wonderful. Bye now. Anna from Texas, very, very nice. Well, we have callers. Stay with us, callers. We have John Ainsworth with us, and let's bring John up. He's the author of the Tiger, Truth in Government, Everyone's Responsible, the Federalization of the States. Welcome to the broadcast, John.
Yeah, good to be on, Chris. Sounds like you got quite the topic going on this morning, or this evening.
We've got lots going on, and certainly this this passage of CAFTA is very dramatic, and the, you know, the beating up on the Bush administration, all that's been going on all this time. I keep adverting to the fact that the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF, of the U.N. system, and what's the point? The Bush regime and the coalition forces in of Afghanistan and Iraq are implementing the United Nations system, and that is the point that I keep trying to drive home. It's not just the Bush administration, it's the Clinton administration, all the past administrations before that, that have been implementing this UN system that we're under today.
Yeah, and I think one of the problems we have in this country is that the people, most Americans, you hear this quite often, that that they feel that the UN isn't binding on us, that
right.
We kind of control it and that we can get out when we want to and they won't make us do things. But as you are so well bringing out, we're in a hook, line, and sinker, and we're in lockstep with everything the UN's putting out.
Yeah, and there's the point of the problem, listeners. The more people that understand and realize, the more action that will happen at the state and federal level that we need to deal with. Let's move along with the callers, and we have John Ainsworth and Sam with us. Melissa, welcome to the broadcast. Melissa in Texas.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
I was calling about the fundraising.
Yeah.
You know, I got to thinking, you know, when I first heard the amount, $26,000 last, you know, Monday or whenever, my mind just started rolling because that's way more than I make in a year. And now that it's down to only $14,000, I got my calculator out because I can't think unless I'm drawing numbers in the air or have a calculator. So
I understand.
Math is not my strong suit. But if you take $14,000 and divide it by 100 people, you end up with, or if you divide it by 140, you end up with $100 a piece. 140 people sending in $100. And even that's a little much for me. So to multiply that, that's 280 people sending in $50. That's doable.
Very, very good point.
It seems too big for me to handle when it's this lump sum. Like, what good would it do me? I'm just one little piece of money here that wouldn't amount to anything. But that's not that many people. 140 people times $100, that's not that many people.
I'm sure we have many more than that listening.
Listening, that's right.
Yeah.
And, like, even if I don't agree with everyone who's on RBN, when I turn on my cable TV to watch the access channels here in Austin, I don't agree with Time Warner, but I'm sure going to pay my cable bill so I can watch access TV. So I can watch Alex and Bob Dacey and, you know, all the people that I have come to understand what's going on by watching access cable. And I know there's lots of access cable companies all over this country of people who are listening right now that have learned something from the access channels. And we don't agree with our cable company, but hey, do I want this station to go dark, this network to go dark? Well, then what will I listen to? Music? Oh, my God. all the way to my grave, right?
Well, it'd be a terrible thing for this to happen.
Well,
and so you make a very good point, and I appreciate this. Everybody contributing $100 will make a surplus at the network.
Yeah.
Everybody listening contributes $100, including myself, and I will do that.
And if they heard this on your show, whether it's you sitting in on John's show or you on your show, we need to give you credit so people, you know, at the network realize that you are a very important part of the team at this point. And I don't want to hear you go away again. I've been in a drought for a while.
Well, I've been off and on all the time, haven't I?
Yeah.
So we don't...
And, one little last point. The reason your intro music, that you called it circus music when I
yes.
mentioned it the other day?
Yes.
Someone told me a long time ago, I said, when I was listening to you at night, I asked a friend, I said, what is that music? That's so creepy.
Yeah.
And that friend told me that that was Something Wicked This Way Comes, and I think it was from Fantasia.
Actually, what it is, it's the theme of the Milagro Beanfield War movie.
Ah.
And it was produced and directed by Robert Redford.
Okay.
And the Milagro Beanfield War is the movie, and I haven't seen it on any stations of late, but that's where it came from, the Milagro Beanfield War.
It's very creepy music, because it's... I know it's you when I hear that music.
Well, that's what it's for.
There you go.
Thank you,
all
Melissa.
Right. Thanks.
Very, very good point, listeners. Everybody contributes $100 listening. I'm sure everybody can handle $100, even me in my dilapidated situation. $100, listeners, everyone listening contributes $100. And let's see if that works. We're with John Ainsworth. Sam in Missouri is hanging with us. And he will be doing the second hour tomorrow on my broadcast with Jim Beers, as Tim will do the first hour with Jim Beers, Fish and Wildlife Service former employee. He will open your eyes to the deception of the EPA and the Fish and Wildlife Service. Stay with us. We'll be back. Broadcast. I'm Chris Gunner, filling in for John Stadmiller today. Connecting dots is very, very important. We have callers. We have Sam with us. We have John Ainsworth with us, and who's been at this battle for many years, John, you have. And hasn't it been confusing for the people out there to try to understand what kind of a quagmire we're in, isn't it?
Well, I mean, absolutely. And I think that the quagmire just gets worse and worse because we're inundated with so much misinformation. We're inundated with so many options. Plus, we're led by our nose to the media to have certain belief systems, which make us want to give up rights in lieu of safety.
And nothing more relevant than Homeland Security.
Nothing more relevant than Homeland Security. I've got just an interesting note here. I've got a paragraph out of the North Carolina Law Review.
Mm-hmm.
This is concerning the UN, since that's the topic you're on right now. And this is from the North Carolina Law Review from February of 1948 on the UN. And this is written by a member of the North Carolina Bar Association. And he says this, and again, this is looking back in history, and look at how profound this is. He says, "Can the United Nations, as it is now constituted, establish the rule of law for this world community? It would seem axiomatic that any government must have a monopoly of physical power far superior to what could be accumulated by any one or groups of its subjects, and that that power must be exercisable directly upon each of its individual subjects. When all the articles in this collection devoted mainly to support the United Nations are taken together, the significant impression is that even its chief supporters are not satisfied that the United Nations, as it is now constituted, can do the job, and to say that it is but a start in the right direction of world government, and that gradually it may grow into one. But the truth is that the United Nations cannot strengthen itself. That takes political action. Every lawyer's job, now listen to this, every lawyer's job should be to grasp this vision of world community attempting to exist without a government, and therefore without law. Having grasped it, each lawyer is the best, perhaps the only man in his community, who can alert his fellow citizens to the urgent necessity of establishing a government for the world community. And those fellow citizens will, according to recent public opinion polls, respond surprisingly well." And I just... this statement that each lawyer is the best, perhaps the only man in his community who can alert his fellow citizens to the urgent necessity of establishing a government of the world. That was in 1948.
And isn't that the way it's been going on with the attorneys and lawyers?
Oh, absolutely. They're the ones pushing this. And again, we're supposed to have all political power is supposed to be vested in the people,
mm-hmm.
not in the Bar Association, not in the lawyers, and also not in the government.
Yeah, and certainly the there's that Bar Treaty of 1947 that that Dave brought up the other day, and that really does put us under this UN umbrella, and here we are.
Right, and I just again the active support, the knowing active support of the Bar Association, and again, you can probably remember back in the 70s when, you know, New World Order and One World Government were considered extremist statements by extremists out there.
Mm-hmm.
When behind the lines, you know, behind the curtains, they are openly going towards it and then denying it.
Yeah, I certainly remember when I was in the motorcycle business in the 70s, and I was service manager at a motorcycle dealer. It was a Bull Taco dealer where the motorcycle came from Spain. But a friend of mine was a tool salesman, and he showed me a crescent wrench that he was selling. It was called the Iron Bull. It had Iron Bull written on it, and it was made in China. And I said, you know, this is bad. You should not be selling any tools made in communist China, regardless of what you're paying for them, regardless of what you're going to sell them for. This is back in 1976, and I said, you know, do anything you can. Go be a Snap-on dealer. Go be a Mac dealer. Go sell something made in the USA in the way of tools, because ultimately, this is going to be our demise. Those cheap products from communist China are going to be our demise, and here we see them all over the place now. Anything mail order, listeners, anything you purchase mail order, more than likely it's going to be made in communist China.
And, I mean, we're just working towards this world economy rather than looking out for number one. We used to be the greatest nation manufacturer-wise on the planet. And, you know, one of the problems we have here is we rest on our laurels. Another example is, I worked with a guy who was from Detroit, and he worked in with the car manufacturers up there as a kid, up until his mid-20s, and he moved down here to North Carolina. And I think I was driving a Toyota at the time. This was probably in the 80s. And he was trying to convince me that America makes the best cars in the world. And this is, you know, coming out of the 70s and early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, America did make the best cars in the world in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, but then, you know, the latter part of the 70s, you know, when Toyota came in with these cars that you couldn't break.
Yeah.
And America was resting on its laurels, saying, no, we build the best cars. And if we have to have a reality check. We have to be able to stand back and look at our government, look at our processes, and be critical of ourselves.
We'll be back to continue with John Ainsworth. Your calls, 800-313-9443. Upon our return, we'll bring up Bill in Missouri. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Okay, we're into a third hour of a marathon broadcast, as I did my show, and now I'm with John Stadmiller's show. I'm Chris Gerner with Sam in Missouri and John Ainsworth. We're going to take Bill in Missouri for the next caller. The call-in number, listeners, 800-313-9443. Keep in mind, a major pledge drive is underway to get this network out of the doldrum of the thought of losing it. And to get that monkey off our back would be a big blessing, listeners. We need your support, and please do so as you can. Bill in Missouri, welcome to the broadcast, Bill.
Hi there, Chris. Please bear with me because I'm a little nervous here and a little upset. My heart's beating boom, 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 boom.
Uh-huh.
I just found out today that they went and passed the CAFTA.
Right.
And I prayed, you know, that maybe there was a chance that it would be turned down, that it would be put down, you know. But it's gone ahead and been passed.
Mm-hmm.
This is the death knell for this country. I mean,
Well, actually, the death knell for our country started 10 years ago, and even before that. But here we are. The proof is in the pudding. We've lost all these manufacturing jobs as a result of the WTO NAFTA, which the WTO used to be the GATT, which was formed in 1947. Mm-hmm. It's the UN system that's been going on all these years to the point of the crescendo of CAFTA being passed. Next will be FTAA, which is South America.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you've got Mexico, U.S., and Canada, CAFTA, Central America, FTAA, South America.
Oh, yeah.
It's a destruction of our country and our sovereignty. It's the U.N. regionalism in place.
Right.
It's the Sovietization of the North American continent.
Right. I mean, you thought jobs disappeared and went down to Mexico in the past here. You're going to see a flood of jobs going down to Mexico now. You're going to see an invasion from every South American country down there. They're going to come up here and invade this country.
Yeah, the ultimate goal is to eliminate the borders.
Right, and plus the entire alternative medical field is going to be wiped out. You're not going to be able to buy herbs. You're not going to be able to buy vitamins. I mean, and the thing is, the American people know absolutely nothing about that. I have written letters and letters to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, practically begging them to inform the people about the Codex Alimentarius. Totally ignored. I was totally ignored. I mean, the man on the street has no idea how this is going to affect this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, God bless you and all the people there at RBN for trying to educate the American people. But the time is fast approaching where we're going to have to take this to the next step. You know, informing people is not working.
Well, actually, we really don't know how well informing people has worked, because we really don't know how many people have awakened to what we're under today. But the pressure in place, they certainly had to pressure these congressmen and senators over the two passages of this. And who knows what kind of manipulation is being done to pressure these people, our elected representatives, to pass CAFTA, to support it. Who knows what kind of pressure has been put on them? I mean, we've had perfect examples of Congressman Hansen with the IRS, and they did away with him, gave him diesel therapy for a period of time. We've got Trafficant in jail or in prison. Sonny Bono's gone, and he was upset about Waco and going to do a Waco investigation. So here we have a groundswell of anger now because of CAFTA, which can be turned into structure if people would start calling these talk shows and get involved in these directions to manipulate the thought pattern of the control in place that is moving us into this totalitarian system of loss of everything that we have.
Well, I think it's about time that the American people needed to band together, to get together, to group together, and hit the streets in protest against all these things.
If there was a way to organize that properly, that would be very, very pregnant, put it that way. Without organization, and certainly Sam is in his local community, Sam has made a big difference in his local community, and I think this is where we have to get vocal in the local area. It's not easy to do, is it, Sam?
No, part of the problem, too, is that Joe Sixpack has to be really feeling it. And when that happens, I just hope it's not too late. You know, as long as they have the entertainment and the bread and circuses.
Right.
And that's been the big thing we've been overcoming here is all the radio stations around here are too busy being involved in bread and circuses. And that's something that we're trying to overcome. In fact, one of the things that we want to work on here is to organize, among other things in this community, a boycott of the radio market and of the sponsors of the radio stations in this market, and basically just saying, hey, you know, we don't want to take over the radio market. We want an alternative that people can tune to and get the news. You can either come on board with us or we'll boycott your products.
Right. Well, how long do you think it's going to be before they actually take our herbs and our vitamins away from us?
That's a hard determination. John, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, they always work through gradualism. They gradually just take it away.
I think the one thing that everyone's looking for is what I call the event. You know, like when we got into World War II, it was Pearl Harbor. You have the event. And I think what the establishment is trying to do is make sure there is no
event. Yeah.
And so that it just keeps gradually going away. They've got time. Time is working on their side. And they know how to propagandize the people.
Just last night I was alerted by a listener that the major news was talking about echinacea and some of these other products, how useless they are.
Right, they're no good.
And how the public has been spending all this money on these useless vitamins and minerals, and so you see the groundwork being created right there, right on top of us.
Yeah, but do the American people see it?
Well,
that's the question.
That's why it's so important to make this network a thriving network, to build and compete with the other ones, which with the right staff in place, with the right organization, with the right diligent people working, can make a difference. And that's why we've got to get over this financial hump right now.
From what I understand, there's a war going on the Texas border down there. The police and Border Patrol have been shot.
Well, here's the point. If that's the situation, I've only been predicting that for months. And why wouldn't this happen? Here we've got the legality of the UN system allowing this to happen, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, executive orders allowing this to happen, Executive Order 13107, Implementation of Human Rights Treaties, 1998, December 10th. And here, so the federal government is allowing this to happen. The Border Patrol is a stooge in this. And so they're allowing this to happen. Then you have volunteer groups coming down there to protect our borders. And the people below the border, Mexico is, for all intents and purposes, a communist country. They want to create wars for national liberation. That's the communist front movement that's been going on for generations. And so, actually, yes, this was predicted very easily by me. And what's going to happen next? Somebody's going to have to come in and quell the problem. Will it be NATO? Because there aren't enough troops in America to stop it? Because they're all overseas? I don't know what the next step's going to be, but yes, here we have a chaotic situation, and there could be a Mexican army down there set up to do this. And they're in plain clothes. I mean, it's just like in Iraq. Here we have our invasion of Iraq, and you have the Republican Guard military over in Iraq that are so elite. So what are they going to do when we go over to Iraq? They're going to take their uniforms, they're going to burn them, and they're going to dress in civilian clothes and intermingle with the civilian population in Iraq. And so we have now. We have insurgents. We don't know who the enemy is in Iraq. Another Vietnam. And here we go again. Our military is being wasted away in another foreign country when we should be here to protect our borders.
And we're all driving around with the little stickers on the back of our car. We support the troops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, I appreciate your thoughts.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your concern.
Hey, Chris, one irony I thought I'd throw in there real quick. For those who think that this is all about freedom over in Iraq, I've been hearing that apparently since we've been over there now, they used to could plant their own non-hybrid seeds, but now it's outlawed. You have to get your seedlings through Monsanto. So if that's freedom, I'd like to know what tyranny really is, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, John, what do you think about all this?
Well, I haven't heard the one on the seeds. But, again, this isn't going to end. I mean, what we're dealing with is the erosion of sovereignty. And does the United States government have the authority to erode our sovereignty and give it over to the United Nations? And, you know, we look at the Constitution, we look at the clause on treaties, but treaties are not unlimited. Treaties cannot commit treason.
Very, very good point. And yet they are.
And yet they are. And, you know, we've got to get out of this erosion of sovereignty mode we've been in, obviously, since the Civil War.
When, yes, you're exactly right.
The implementation of the 14th Amendment eroded state sovereignty and granted us all federal citizens. And you'll see this, you're going to see this, you know, look at the stepping stones here. We originally had localized state governments. Then our sovereignty, our state sovereignty was eroded into federal citizenship. And then we say now our sovereignty is going to be eroded into world citizenship.
And so what are we dealing with? A progressive direction over how long?
Well, if you look at the European Revolution of 1848, which was, you know, the nationalization movement, to where nations started being created out of these little compacts of kingdoms and principalities. I'd say since 1848 is when it really started going. I mean, it's French Enlightenment being implemented throughout the world.
And that's when Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto came into place, huh?
That was 1848 also, yeah.
Isn't that remarkable? Oh, boy. Let's move along here. And keep in mind, you're welcome to call in 800-313-9443. No question is ridiculous, so please call in. Let's take Kenneth in Louisiana. Kenneth, welcome to the show.
How y'all doing today?
Fine, thank you.
I want to throw a thought out here and let y'all kind of maybe banter it around or something, and I'll listen off the air. While I don't agree with the way it's being done, and a lot of the parts
in it, here in a minute, I think,
and a lot of the parts in it, but at some point, as a world and people in it, at some point, we're going to have to try to figure out how to beat a, you know, one world group to look out for one another. And I just don't agree with the way it's being done. I'll throw that out there and let y'all kind of banter around, and I'll listen off the air.
Okay, thank you, Kenneth. You know, state sovereignty is what was the foundation of this country, wasn't it, John?
Well, absolutely. It was localized. It was the, you know, each individual state have a representative republic to where the people, it's much easier to control from a local level. One of the problems when you start going into everyone's equal, you know, people in Louisiana are equal to people in New York City, and they should all want the same things. Well, and then you take this into a world concept of, well, the people in China should want the same things the people in the United States, so we need to implement laws and make them all equal. And you see that this is the absolute annihilation of cultures, to where everyone, you know, which is what happened in this country. We used to have separate cultures every time you crossed the border. In fact, you know, from one state to another, you had a different culture. You had different laws. And all that has been eroded to where in the United States it's basically one law. You know, when one nation or when one state passes a law, every state has to recognize it as legitimate. So this has been what has moved forward, you know, taking that prayer out of school, Roe versus Wade, the sodomy laws from Texas. Struck down the sodomy laws, and every state had to strike down the sodomy laws. And when we see this direction, this is what's going to happen on a global scale, that when whoever is making policy says, well, we think that sodomy, there's nothing wrong with sodomy, then now instead of just going, in, like in our country, across state borders, now it's going to go across every international border of what's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at how we have to treat our children now. The rights of the child and why we don't spank and how the reason we're throwing people in jail and taking children away from people through these Department of Social Services is based upon UN treaties for the children.
Yeah, very, very good point. Here's our dilemma. We have 50 sovereign states still being manipulated by the Federal Reserve debt and old dollar. But the 50 sovereign states, I'm amazed, even though we've been regionalized, and the federal government may not look at this 50 sovereign states, but may be looking at us by the region picture. What do you think about that, John?
Well, that could be true. I mean, I would actually argue that we have 50 sovereign states. I mean, I think with the advent of, again, Reconstruction, the 14th Amendment, there was an individual by the name of James G. Blaine. He was one of the radical Republicans in Congress who passed the 14th Amendment, which was the U.S. citizenship and then the doctrine of equality, equal protection under the law. And he wrote in a book that the passage of the 14th Amendment rid this nation of that pestilent heresy called states' rights. So I think that it was well known at that time that basically the passage of the 14th Amendment, the creation of a national citizenship, federal citizenship, and giving it dominance over state citizenship in this nation, was in effect the annulment of our sovereign states.
What would it take to repeal some of these amendments, like the 14th Amendment?
Well, one thing with the 14th Amendment, the 14th Amendment was an absolutely coerced amendment. And we know that in law, any coerced act is not an act in fact. A coerced statement cannot be held up in court as being valid.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go back and look at the history of the 14th Amendment, we see that know, the first Reconstruction Act of March 1867 said that these southern states, number one, Congress put out the concept that the federal government, well, they put out the concept that the states cannot leave the Union voluntarily,
mm-hmm.
but that Congress can conquer them in times of peace
mm-hmm.
and subjugate their citizens and keep them out of the Union, make them no longer states, which is what was done through Reconstruction. And in doing that, they said that we're going to kick you out of the Union and reduce you to a territory. Now you have to create a new constitution. And when you create this new constitution, you have to submit it to Congress. And then once you Congress okays the constitution, says that's acceptable, that's a Republican form of government, then your legislature is to convene. You are to bring up the 14th Amendment. And your legislature is required to pass the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, the 14th Amendment is required to become part of the federal constitution prior to your state having representation in Congress.
Stay with us. We'll be back to continue. I'm going to have Sam open up the next hour as I have to take a break. We'll be back to continue. Your calls are encouraged and most welcome, 800-313-9443. Welcome back to the broadcast. John Stadmiller's Intel Report, the National Intel Report. He will be back Monday, apparently. John will be back Monday. Quick recovery from that motorcycle get-off. Lots of broken bones, listeners, and God's in charge, I kind of think. I always thought that for many a year. We are going to have Sam open up the next hour with John Ainsworth. Let's take Rick in Illinois because I have to take a break. But, Rick, welcome to the broadcast.
See you.
Hi, Rick.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I just wanted to chime in briefly that I am a state citizen, and I used to be a U.S. citizen, but I have canceled that contract. And I really believe that the only hope that the American people have is to cancel the contracts with the United States government because it is an illegal government. The only hope we have is just not to obey.
John, what do you think about that?
Well, I think Rick has is on the right track, but I think there's some things that need to be addressed on that. Is we've got a movement of people who want to not be a U.S. citizen, not be the United States citizen, but and they want to be a state citizen. But some immediate issues arise. Where is your state? Where is your legislative body? Where is your executive? What laws do you follow? Where do you get remedy? And so this is what I'm actually deeply involved in is the reestablishment of the lawful state. What everyone is desperately seeking is a lawful, provable government.
It's a good thought as a conclusion, but we're so involved in stripping off the bad laws and that would affect us negatively. I don't even think we've gotten to that yet.
Well, you can't.
Yes, we will have to come to it.
It's like cutting off the head to the Hydra. You can cut off one bad law. But while you just spent months, if not years, and millions of dollars in man hours, 10 more laws have popped up.
Yeah.
That is not the way to get remedy. We have to hack at the root. What is the root cause here? We have to quit hacking at the branches.
I agree that that has to be addressed, and that will be the conclusion. But up to that point, don't you think it's important that we all follow our own heart and God's law?
Oh no, I'm 100% for you. And what I want to do is provoke is for you to take the next step and to reestablish a lawful government in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Is you can't be a state citizen without the existence of the state. Now that's like someone in Italy saying, you know what? I don't like the way the Italian government's going. I'm going to become a citizen of Rome. I'm a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's your government? Where's Rome? And the issue is that these state governments were put into abeyance by the federal government without authority. The federal government had no authority to set aside these states. The federal government had no authority to change who the body politic was in Illinois from state citizens to federal citizens residing in Illinois.
That's been
and
very
the government
helpful.
That's in place now is the government for the federal citizens, the United States citizens residing in Illinois.
I agree.
And so what you want to find is the government for the free people of Illinois. Where'd it go to?
You provoke thought. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate your participation. We're about to close out this hour, and listeners, I just want to make it perfectly clear that the support for this network is very, very vital right now, and do your best to support this with as much as you can, because I've got this pit in my stomach now. Here I am back here, and maybe it's going to go. And you know, here I was going to start a network, and I knew what kind of responsibility that took. Support this network as best you can financially, listeners. Sam is going to open up this broadcast as I have to take a break. And Sam, take it away, my friend.
All right. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.